I'm going to preach on something tonight. I actually was praying, Lord, what would you have me to preach? He directed me to this. It's fresh on my mind, but he directed me to this topic tonight because in the Christian life, every person here is going to deal with this subject at some point, and you're going to want to know how to deal with it properly. All right, James chapter 3. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? So what we're reading about in this particular passage is a similitude. We are compared to a fountain, and what comes out of us is compared to the water that flows out of a fountain. And a good fountain does not produce both sweet water and bitter water. If the water of that fountain comes out and it has bitter water in it, the sweet water is going to be tainted by the flavor of the bitter water. And so James says it's full of deadly poison. Tonight, what we're going to do is that we're going to talk about some aspects of bitterness. When I was putting this together, I thought I would go back to see what kind of messages that had already been preached on bitterness, because there's quite a bit in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, in the book of Ruth, Naomi, this passage here, Ephesians chapter 4. I think, well, I don't want to re-preach something that we've already preached. Unless it was long enough ago, I can re-preach it and you don't remember it. And when I looked, I thought, man, there are at least three or four really good messages on our website on the subject of bitterness. I would just direct you, if you want to, look at that sermon. Just type in the word bitterness in the search box and then look at that sermon about Naomi from Ruth, chapters 1 through 4. It's got some really good stuff in that's very helpful. But we're not going to talk about that aspect of bitterness tonight. What we're going to talk about is what eventually will lead us to Ephesians chapter 4 and the instruction that we receive from Paul to put away bitterness. Let all bitterness, he said, be put away from you. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. But we're starting here in James because we want to recognize that bitterness, according to verse 8, when you read it in the context that we read for our text tonight, is a deadly poison. It is a deadly poison. It's often been said about bitterness when there's something or somebody or some event that has happened that has actually turned your bitterness toward God. It is the case where a man drinks the poison and hopes the other person dies. Okay? That's bitterness. And it gets in there, and what it does is it affects the spirit, it affects the temperament, it affects what comes forth out of the fountain in conversation. That's what bitterness does. And like I said, every one of us at some point in our life, and maybe in more than one point in our life, is going to have an occasion to be bitter. Somebody's going to do you wrong. You may think it's the Lord. Naomi did. You may think it is a close relative. You may think it is a business associate. You may think that it is a neighbor or somebody that had access to do something to you that affects you in a way where you get hurt by it. But the offense is not something that goes away. It starts to root down. And the problem with a root of bitterness is it is below ground. So it's not easy for other people to detect until it starts fouling the water. Instead, what's coming out of the mouth now has that sound of something in there that's not right. And here's the problem. When he says in our text, it is a deadly poison, this tongue. He says in verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father. Tonight we have the opportunity to do that. We've sung some beautiful songs about the Lord, our desire to be like Him, to walk in His steps, to be nearer to Him, to love Him more. Therewith bless we God, and we do that when we are together. We do that at home in our prayers. But at the same time, therewith curse we men. That is, particularly the person or people that have made us bitter, or the circumstance, or even as Naomi, Lord God Almighty. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. What should come forth from our mouth as God's children is blessing. Is blessing. But there's something in there that has fouled the water. And listen, even our blessing toward God, when the water inside has been fouled, is affected. He knows what's in there. The proverb says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. That's true. But God knows it as well, because God knows all things. And so it comes out, and to you and to me, when we have bitterness in here, it sounds like we're truly praising the Lord. It sounds like a blessing. God, because He recognizes the bitterness that's inside, detects that the water is fouled. And it affects, listen, not only your relationship with the people who offend you or the circumstance that hurt you, but it also affects your relationship with the Lord. These things, He said, ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. No. The bitterness may be mixed with a little sweetness so that it's not as powerful and potent as some bitterness, but it's still there. And God recognizes it in the sound. God recognizes it in the taste. And He said, that shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be like that. So it's important for us to recognize that bitterness is, in fact, a deadly poison. We may feel justified. You know, if somebody has really hurt you, you may feel justified to harbor resentment toward that person that's done you wrong, because they did you wrong. What they did was not good, or is not good, or hasn't been good, however it's affecting your life. And so when that happens, we have a tendency to somehow sense that we are justified, or that it's okay because this situation is not good, this person is not treating us well, this person is not good. But you know what? It brings something inside that shouldn't be there. It is a deadly poison. And that's the thing that's important for us to realize about the bitterness. Though the offense may be something that you feel justified in hanging on to, particularly when there hasn't been an apology, there hasn't been a repentance, there hasn't been any attempt at forgiveness, you're hurting yourself. What kind of poison is it? Deadly poison. If it's inside of you, who is it killing? Not the other person. Killing you. And you know, we use that expression, oh man, this is really killing me. Sort of lightly, but in this case, with that particular thing right there, you know, I've noticed in my own life the many things that God has had to deal with me about, things that He's wanted me to change, and things in my life that needed to go. In working through the Bible on those things, God will bring to light scripture that helps me to identify what God calls it and how He views it. And when we see it from God's perspective, suddenly we realize this thing is a real problem, and it needs a real solution, and it needs constant attention until it's done. You know, in the world we live in now, everything that is bad is either being viewed as good, they call evil good and good evil, or everything that's bad now is being renamed so that even though it's bad, it doesn't sound bad. It went from alcoholism and drunkenness and dope addiction. It went from that to substance abuse. And now it's called substance use syndrome. So it doesn't even, it has no connotation that anything with it is wrong. It's just a syndrome that you have that you use substance, not abuse. See how it is? And when you start renaming things going on in your life in a way that they lose the punch, they lose the sound of how bad they really are in God's eyes, then we have a tendency to treat them more lightly, like, I'll get to that whenever, or really it's not that bad. And God says, I want you to understand how bad it is in my view. It's a deadly poison. Okay? So that's what bitterness is. It's not just a poison, a deadly poison. Listen, you would not, I've got these bottles of water up here tonight, you know, again, we've restocked. And if I laced this with a little bit of cyanide and then I said, anybody want some, you know, I wouldn't have any takers. You wouldn't risk it. Why would you then risk deadly poison in your body through bitterness? You see? Just as bad. All right, so that's the view from James chapter 3. It's a deadly poison. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And understand the next thing. And we'll read verses 30, 31, and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30, 31, and 32. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. You know, being sealed by the Holy Spirit at the day of redemption, well, that's a tremendous thing. The day of redemption is when we get that glorified body. And to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Oh, do I ever thank God for that? Because if a man could lose his salvation, I certainly would have lost mine. But we're sealed. So the Holy Spirit is very, very important to us, not only in our eternal security, but also in this. He leads us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right, so you have Him leading you, and our instruction is not to grieve Him. Well, let me just say, as you read this, you're going to notice that bitterness grieves the Spirit of God. Keep reading. Let all bitterness, verse 31, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. So you understand what wrath is, and you understand what anger is. Clamor is bickering and evil speaking. That's, you know what that is, talking bad. Be put away from you with all malice. Malice is the desire to use that bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking to hurt the other person. Because you're hurting. To get them back, because you hurt. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So bitterness not only is a deadly poison, but bitterness grieves the Spirit of God. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, you know, we have instructions in the Bible about a number of things. I'm going to read another passage to you so that you'll understand what this grief does. In Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll just read this for you. The Bible says in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. May I ask you something? Do you think that the Holy Spirit has the rule over you? Okay, so you understand when Paul wrote this in Hebrews chapter 13, he's writing about earthly rule, people that you would call people that have authority over you. But here he says, obey them that have the rule over you. So we understand the Holy Spirit certainly has rule over us. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, All right, when you're leading, and everybody in here has led somebody, unless you're just quite not yet old enough, you'll get there. But everybody's led somebody. And for instance, when you're leading children and they obey you, it puts a smile on your face. When you're leading children and they don't obey you, what does it cause? It's a grief. It's grief. So, every time I tell this kid, it just, right? So you know what it feels like to be in a position of authority and have, let's say you have employees in your business or whatever, and you tell them do this, and then you have to go behind them because they didn't do it. It's a grief to you. It's not joyful. It's a grief. But listen how he says this. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Listen, for that is unprofitable for you. So to grieve the Spirit of God with something in you is unprofitable for you. It's a grief to Him, but it's unprofitable for you. Now, the way the Holy Spirit works, we know that He's gentle. His fruit is this: love, joy, peace, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So He's gentle. So in His leadership, though you may want Him to slam doors when you're going somewhere that's not in the will of God, maybe you want Him to scream, hey, that's wrong. Yeah, I've asked Him to do that before. Or beat you over the head if I'm not doing this right, or however we talk to Him. He's not going to do that. He's not going to change His nature to lead you. What He's going to try to do is lead you gently. David said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." And when you don't follow His gentle leadership, it just goes kind of dead air. He's there leading, but it's just like it's really hard for you to detect His leadership, His nudging, His prompting, whatever you want to call it, however it is in your life that you sense His leadership, His peace. Some people say, I'm making this decision, and boy, that peace of God is there. Just there's a good peace associated with this decision. That's a good thing. And sometimes it's hard to detect that peace. And you know what's fouling it up? He's grieved. And when he's grieved, it's very hard to detect that gentle leadership. And so what does it do? It gets you off course. So now you got this deadly poison going on inside, and then you have this Holy Spirit who's supposed to be there to lead you, and he's grieved. Yowie zowie, it's affecting your relationship with God. He's God. He's God. You know, one of the things that helped me with this subject is this. In verse 32, we are to forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, back before the cross, that was essential, forgiveness. Back before the cross, when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them how to pray, you know, He taught them, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He taught them that prayer. And then when He got to the end of that prayer, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen," He said, "You forgive others. If you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you." That's what He said. It was conditional. If you had something between you and God that needed to be forgiven, and you had something between you and another person that you didn't forgive, sorry, you're knocking on the door, but I ain't answering. That's how it was. But after the cross, His attitude about forgiveness didn't change, but he raised it up a notch. I want you to forgive because I've already forgiven you. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So it's not conditional at this point, but it is more constraining. He's already done it. And so the expectation that He has for us to forgive is higher than before. Well, if He's grieved, and you got deadly poison circulating through your veins, This is going to be a tough place to live spiritually. Because when Naomi came back with Ruth and she was upset, she four times brought this up, that God, the hand of the Lord was against me. Eventually it affected her relationship with God. And bitterness will do that every time. And clearly you see here, it affects your relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is the most active person in your relationship with God that you have on this earth. Bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. So when God says that we are to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, here's the thing that helps. It's always helped me, as I've said before in the message, to get God's perspective on it. And his perspective in Ephesians 4, 30, 31, and 32 is this. The grief you are experiencing that has brought about the bitterness in your life because of what somebody else has done to you is not as great as the grief you're causing me by grieving my spirit. The grief, he would say, I'm experiencing by your bitterness is greater than the bitterness you're experiencing because of the offense against you. Well, that's some perspective. And that's why he doesn't want it there. He doesn't want something impairing your relationship with him. So he says, put it away. Put it away. It's a deadly poison, and bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. So what does he say? He says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, because they all come up with it. It's a root springing up, and this is what starts coming out. Be put away from you with all malice. All right, bitterness is a deadly poison. It grieves the Spirit of God, and it must be put away from you. Putting away bitterness is easier said than done. That's for sure. How many of you remember the little desk ornament or desk, whatever you call it, conversation thing called Newton's Cradle? Does anybody know it by Newton? Okay, a couple of head nods. Newton's Cradle. There's another one. Newton's Cradle, there's one. Hey, yeah, you know Newton's Cradle. Newton's Cradle, there are five metal balls, and they're suspended by filament line, and they're touching each other. And when you take one of those balls and you pull it away like this and hit it, the energy from that hits this ball, and the other one on the other side comes up, right? But then when this one goes up, it's coming back. So bitterness, I'm reminded of Newton's Cradle when I think of it, because here's what happens. One day you wake up in the morning, you're feeling pretty good. And you're not used to feeling good when you get up in the morning, you're feeling pretty good, and then you start thinking about things, and it comes to your mind that you hate this person. And you know what you've done? You've taken that ball over here on this side, and you've raised it up, and your thoughts, and you've raised it up, and you let that sucker go, and bang, it hits, and guess what comes up on the other side? Bitterness. That's associated with the thoughts of that person. And then bang, 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 all day long, you're clanging. Right? Or one day you get up and you really weren't thinking about him, but you just feel like, I'm sort of bitter today. I wonder what that's all about. Oh, yeah! Then you load up the other side. Bang, 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 bang. Here we go. And so it's either thinking about it and the bitterness comes, or bitter and the thinking comes. And you've got this vicious, horrible cycle that's hard to break going on in your life. And he says, I want you to put that away from you. Well, one of these or the other, you're going to have to deal with. You're either going to have to quit thinking like that about the circumstance or God or the person or the people or whatever the bitterness is. You're going to have to quit thinking about that so that it quits aggravating the bitterness. Or you're going to have to deal with that bitterness and quit thinking about it. And he says the thing to do is to put the bitterness away. But man, that can be a very difficult thing, because you feel it and it courses through you to remind you what made you bitter. And you think about what made you bitter, and you feel it. Feel it, think about it. Think about it, feel it. Feel it, think about it. It's just bang, 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 bang. You want to live your rest of your life that way? No. And as I said when we started the message, you may not have anything going on in your life that's got you bitter right now. Something's just hang on. It's coming. Or it may be something happened in your life that's ancient history, but that nagging thing is still there. It's not going away until you do what he said, and that is to put it away. Now, if you identify it for what it is, and you come to the Spirit of God, and you are determined that you want to put that away, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. He's going to help you deal with it. You say, I wonder how that's going to be possible. Spirit of God, I need your help. Well, that's already refreshing to the Holy Spirit that you are willing to come to him and say, I read in your words, or read in God's words through your inspiration, this thing is a deadly poison and you're grieved by this. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've grieved you by this. I am. And I don't want to do this. And you gave me instruction here to put it away. And frankly, I don't know what to do here. This is a very difficult thing. He'll help you. He'll help you because you're on his terms now, and he doesn't want it in there any more than you do. Matter of fact, he probably wants it out of there more than you do. And so he's going to give you something that will help you. But you know, anytime we're dealing with something in our lives, there comes a point at which you have to have a determination. You have to have a resolve. You have to have a head-to-head meeting with God. God, I agree with you, and we're going to go to work on this. If it kills me, we're going to get this done. I'll tell you, some things that get rooted down in there take that level of determination, that level of diligence, that level of resolve to bring it through, or it won't. Or it just won't. You'll grow weary in well-doing before you get the thing solved and you'll go back where you were. But there's a resolve, Lord, I do not want to live like this anymore. I do not want to grieve you anymore. I do not want to disobey Ephesians 4:31 anymore. And I don't want this deadly poison in me anymore. I want this done. But when the Holy Spirit sees that resolve, he's got something that will help you to get this thing done. Okay? It has to be put away from you. But you're coming to him with, God, if it kills me, it's going to be gone. I am not hanging on to this in disobedience. All right, well, how's he going to do that? What he's going to do is this. We looked at a well, didn't we, in James chapter 3. And that fountain was bringing forth both witter water and sweet water. Bitter water and sweet water. And so the sweet water is being fouled by the bitterness, right? See, I got to get that out of here. And you've come to the Spirit of God. Well, you've come to the right place. Don't lose your place here. We've got to come back to Ephesians chapter 4, but go to John chapter 7. All right, so we're talking about this fountain, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, right? The mouth speaketh, and what's coming out is bad stuff, evil speaking, clamor, that kind of wrath and anger, that kind of stuff. Okay. So John chapter 7, we got to get something in here that's going to help us solve this problem. John chapter 7, the Lord is talking about thirsting here, but it brings us to a picture of the Spirit of God that's very important at this juncture. John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow, what? Rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, what's happened is this poison is now inside, and it's down in a wound. Where you were hurt. And you know, you want to get it out. And so if you can imagine like a boil or pimple or something that you've ever had to deal with before like that, you know, you squeeze on it, it only hurts more. You know, you go to the doctor, I got this boil, what do I need to do? They lance it and pull you like, ah, ha, 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 you know, I'm going to kill you. It just doesn't feel good to do the work. But so you get that. But you know what has to happen is something clean has to come in there where that foul disease and poison was. Spirit of God. You see, when he's grieved, he's not able to get in there to cleanse that out. But when you're determined to put away that bitterness and you let go of the ball on either side of Newton's cradle that's keeping this thing aggravated, the Spirit of God comes in and flushes the wound with clean water. Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day talking to somebody the other day. I have two teeth back here. The space is just enough, wide enough, so no matter what I eat, something is going to get lodged in there, right? So I always keep one of those little picks that has dental floss on it. And sometime after the meal, I got to get in there and get that out because it aggravates, you know, it's putting pressure on that. And so this person saw me do that and said, I'll tell you what really works for me is a water pick. You remember those? Right? Some of you may still have one. And you get in there, load that thing up, and put hydrogen peroxide, Listerine in there, and go to work on it, brother. You'll get it all out of there. I think about that. When I think about the Holy Spirit, you open up that wound and say, Spirit of God, and he comes in there with that clean water and flushes. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's happened is it's become a stagnant pond. The bitterness becomes a stagnant pond. But when the Holy Spirit opens that up, it's painful, hurts worse, and then starts flushing that out with that clean water, you know what's happening? It's like irrigating it out. And so the stuff that's bad starts going out and the stuff that's good starts coming in. And whoa, when that Holy Spirit gets in there and flushes that thing out where the bitter water is gone, guess what happens to the fountain? Sweet. Sweet water. Blessings to God, no more cursings to men. Sweet water. And he did it. But he did it because you came and said, I'm not going to be like this anymore. I'm going to put that thing away. I realize putting it away may, you know, it's not like maybe an overnight process. You may have had something you've been carrying for a long time. But I'll tell you what, you get that Holy Spirit in there, he is going to get that clean. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to be in here with us trying to lead us when he has to put up with smelly poison. Amen? So flush it out, flush it out, flush it out. Yielding to the Spirit of God, praying, getting that Word of God in there. Jesus said to the disciples, now are you clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. And that stuff just comes in there and starts irrigating that out. Freshens that up, really changing you from the inside out. You can tell that the quicker that you get on what you're hearing tonight after you go through a bitter experience, the easier it's going to be to clean it out. The longer it's in there, the worse and it's going to be stinky. That's all I can say. It's never pretty not to clean these things out. Bitter water must be flushed out by sweet water. The Holy Spirit comes in and literally cleanses out the poison, takes away the bitterness. You put it away. He didn't say the Spirit of God is going to take it away. If people want to do that. They want to come and say, Lord, I've got this sin going on in my life. Please take it away. Deliver me from that. No, he's going to make you put it on the table and put it away. But he's going to be there when you do to flush it out, irrigate it, and cleanse the wound. And now the sweet water is going to be there. Say, how will you know? Your prayer life's going to change. Your Bible reading is going to change. Your fellowship with the saints is going to change. That stuff you've been saying about the person that made you bitter is not going to come out anymore. It's not going to be there. Or the event. It's going to be gone. You won't even want to talk about it. Eventually what happens is, the memory is there, but the pain of the memory is not there. You say, how do you know that? Look, you don't live to be as old and ugly as I am without going through some bitter experiences. And there are circumstances and there are things that have happened. And I look back and now if I don't even have to think if the memory comes up, you get phone calls and you see people sometimes, you know, at a place you go to a funeral or whatever, and there they are. And all of a sudden, that thing that used to be in here that made you so sour, it's not there. And the thoughts of them are good, not bad. And you know the Holy Spirit's done something to fix you and clean you up and take away the bitter, not take away, but as you put it away, to replace it with something good. Now back to Ephesians chapter 4. When the bitter is gone, you will be kind. You don't have to be kind on your own. You will be kind because of what the Holy Spirit has done when you get that stuff out of there. He says, be ye kind, in verse 32, one to another, tender-hearted. You know why sometimes you don't want to be kind to people is you don't want to get hurt again. Now, I've seen people that have been hurt in church, and they won't come back to church. And you know why they won't come back to church? They don't want to get hurt that way again. I understand that, but you know what that is? That's bitterness. I've been hurt in church before. How many of y'all been hurt in church before? Yeah. Yeah. But I love church. Can you hurt me? Yeah. Can I hurt you? Yeah. Daniel Havman said when he was here for the preacher's conference, if you're close enough to touch them, they're close enough to hurt you. But I'm not going to shy away from you, and I don't want you to shy away from me just because we might bump heads like that. Be kind. That's what he said. Be kind and tenderhearted. God's getting bumped all the time. He still shows up, thank God. He always shows up. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know what happens? Some people sometimes they put on the appearance of kind and they put on the appearance of tender-hearted while they're boiling inside. You know what that is? That's hypocrisy. Proverbs, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it. It's in, if you read Proverbs 11 today, which a lot of you did, Proverbs 11 verse 9 says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Not here. Not here. Hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Not here. Here it's, ha-ha, oh, yeah. Yeah. But out there, And I know somebody who, if nobody else in the room knows, I know somebody who knows. God knows. He said, I don't want you to pretend, I don't want you to act kind. He didn't say that. And act kind one to another. He didn't say that. He said, he didn't say act kind one to another. Act tenderhearted. He said, you be kind and you be tenderhearted. Well, that makes me vulnerable. Makes him vulnerable too. That's how he told us to do it. Why? Because the bitterness is worse than the pain of another injury. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. No matter what it is, we are always to forgive because in truth, they've never done worse to us than what we did to the Lord that caused him to die for us. That's true. So he said, I forgave you. Yeah, well, then you forgive them. You know, when you start learning to forgive people that have really hurt you like that and the bitterness goes, you put it away, you're more Christ-like than you've ever been before, because that's how he is. And now you're nearer, my God, to thee. Now it's, my Jesus, I love thee more. Now it's walking in his steps. Now it's, oh, to be like thee. See, we sang the songs. You didn't even have any idea what we were preaching tonight. We sang the songs. You want to be like him? Then you're going to have to learn how to forgive people that hurt you and not get bitter. Or if you're bitter, to get over it and get it away. That's how he is. People say, well, that makes me vulnerable. Listen, the love that I have received from the saints of God, I'll risk it. I'll risk it. The love that I've received from you, right? I'll risk it. If I have to, if I have to, expose myself, if you have to expose yourself to the hurt to be loved this much, go ahead. It's okay. It's worth it. It really is. It's worth it. And once you get over something that's been hanging on to you for a while and you realize, wow, the Holy Spirit comes in here with that fresh water and I don't have to be bitter when something like that happens, and you forgive, guess what? The forgiveness is what keeps the bitterness from ever getting rooted in the next time ever again, because you let it go. When you forgive them, you let it go. You say, well, I can't forget it. Nobody told you you had to forget it. God chooses not to remember it. One of my old preacher friends said, forgive them and don't forget. You don't want that to happen again. But just don't hang on to the bitterness that goes with it. Let that go. And when the bitter is gone, you will be kind. The greatest thing in the world is that that thing that stirs up in you to want to say something won't stir up. It won't come out anymore. You'll look at that and go, I really do love this person. I really am tenderhearted. I really am forgiving in this relationship. And it doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt. As a matter of fact, it feels good. It's fresh and clean. You know what will happen? It will improve your relationship with the Lord. Absolutely, 100%. It will to get this gone. And it will improve your relationship with others. The ones that are near you and the ones that are nearby. You will be a better person for this, and your relationships with them will be better as well. So put away bitterness. That's what he said. Put that away. No matter what, just put that away. Trust that when you've made that resolve and you know what it is, the Holy Spirit will start bringing that fresh water in, irrigate that wound, and the day you know that you can think about that person or that circumstance without being bitter and the forgiveness is there is going to be one of the greatest days you've ever experienced in life. Just about like your day of salvation, be like, wow, I can actually love this person and it doesn't hurt me to do so. It's that important. It's that important. Like I said, you may be going through something right now where this is very, very timely for you. Maybe something that's been buried from years ago and you never really dealt with it, and God says, you know what, it's time to get that done. Maybe that something's right around the corner. Whatever, however God chooses to apply this in your life and mine, let's be obedient to the words of God. Let's do what he said. It always works out better that way. Amen? Father, we're very thankful tonight to open the Bible and be instructed. It's amazing, Father, when we do this, you come to us just like X-ray. You know what's going on the inside. Your word truly is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll help us to be very obedient to the things that we've heard tonight and accomplish what you gave us in the Scripture to do. Father, help us to be obedient to you and your invitation, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.